This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And a good evening to you for Wednesday, August 1st, 2012, just a few more months before we all kick the bucket on December 21st. It's good to be back with everybody. We've been gone for a month, kind of took a hiatus during July, and so here we are back with Dr. Vicki Hunter. Hey, Vicki.
Hey, Doug. It's really good to be back. I'm excited. August 2012, August 1st. Wonderful.
We're just doing the countdown until we all die if we live long enough, so just wanted to keep our listeners informed about all the crap that's going to rain down on December 21st, 2012. Of course, if you've been listening to us for any length of time, you know I'm joking. We don't believe that. Anyway, it's great to have everybody back. We welcome those who are listening live as well as those listening to the archive. Metaphysical Universe is an educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. We explore science, spirituality. We empower the human condition, and we're glad to have you with us. Of course, we have Dr. John Hightower here with us screening calls. Welcome, John.
Hello. How is everybody tonight?
And, of course, the topic tonight is an interesting one always, what it means to be a paranormal researcher and how to become one. And we have invited my good friend and colleague and special guest, Grant Rubendunz, to join us. Hey, Grant.
Hey, Doug and Vicki and John. It's nice to be here tonight. It's been a long time since I've been on the radio. Hey, Doug?
Yeah, it has been. Of course, if you've listened to Paranexus Universe, we don't do that show anymore, but we did it for 3 years and over 150 episodes. But Grant and I co-hosted that show for a long, long time, interviewed a lot of people.
It was a real enjoyable endeavor, and, we appreciate excuse me, all the folks that still listen to us. You know, it's like we were talking about before we went on air, how we're kind of astonished that, you know, folks seem to enjoy it, because I know we certainly did.
Yeah, the archives are at paranexus.org if you want to listen to the archives. But we interviewed, a lot of big names and a lot of not-so-big names people over those 3 years. And it was an interesting thing. I mean, we're still getting well over 1,000 or 2,000 listens a week on that show. And that was just also archives. So apparently people are enjoying.
That's our goal, Doug.
Yeah.
That's our goal. MCHS, that's our goal.
Well, I will.
2,000 people a week would be good.
Yeah, it would be. And I will tell you that our archive listenership is dramatically gone up. I meant to tell you guys about that before we went on, but I'm telling you now. So it's dramatically gone up. And now that we are off hiatus and back doing the regular weekly show, then we can hopefully get some more live listeners and some more archive listeners. So, if you have a question on tonight's program, you're certainly free to call in. The numbers are on your screen, 714-459-3973. Dr. John Hightower screening calls, so you'll get to talk with him too. And so that's all the intro comments I have. That's all the intro comments I have for tonight. All right, so let's get into the topic, what it means to be a paranormal researcher and how to become one. What we're going to do tonight is we're going to talk about a variety of different aspects of paranormal research, or what is kind of grouped into paranormal research. Of course, paranormal science, paranormal investigations involving ghosts, spirits, that sort of thing. We'll talk about parapsychology, which has more to do with psi phenomena, psychic ability, all the clairs, that sort of thing. We'll talk about that. We'll touch on ufology, and we will touch on cryptozoology, which is the search for undiscovered animals, or cryptids, as they're called. So we'll start out with just the first one, paranormal science, you know, paranormal investigations. That is really the investigation of spirits, ghosts, and such. So
I think John Hightower has a little bit to say about that, too. I think that's one of John's favorite topics, actually, if I remember correctly.
How seems how he specialized in paranormal science or parapsychology, I'm sure.
Yes, he did, too.
Parapsychology is really my main source of, my main goal in study, to study the clairs And how I got interested in doing haunting investigations was I found that one of my interests were mediums at the time, and I followed around a medium, and she took me to a couple of places, and you know, that's when I started getting interested in doing haunting investigations. And so, as you know, it progressed, I started seeing TV shows. That's one of my things that, you know, they didn't understand, and I knew some people that were already doing it with the electromagnetic field meters and things. A lot of times, those TV shows, I have to say that they don't use good science. I know a lot of people out there and that say, those are my heroes. Well, I have some heroes too, and they were paranormal investigators a lot longer time period before I ever came around, and then some. So,
well, we have to keep in mind that the TV shows are there for entertainment purposes. They're not there for training purposes.
Yeah.
Grant, is that something that you ever did? Is that something Grant got? Did you get involved in like haunting investigations?
Yeah, I did. I did. I always had an interest in it, and I hooked up with Doug about 5 or 6 years ago.
6 years now, man.
Yeah, looking around just to see if I could find a group that kind of that I felt that I could might be a good fit for, because I was kind of approaching it. I'd always had an interest in it, much like John. But I really wanted to experience it for myself, because I'd never been in a place that you know was supposedly haunted. And thank goodness Spirit Team came around, and I learned a lot. It was really a wonderful experience.
Yeah,
it was great. Met some wonderful people. Went to some places and had some things that I'm still, you know, uncertain about some things. But by the same token, some remarkable things did happen.
Mm-hmm. We've had a number of experiences. Talked about these a little bit on Paranexus Universe years ago, but it's been, and just everything Grant just said, it's a wonderful experience too. And the people you meet, it's like, you know, I met Grant at a conference I was doing in Bartow, Florida. I was doing a presentation on paranormal science, and met Grant. We met Gregory Kent, who is a spiritualist medium pastor, and we've done a lot of table tipping with Gregory.
Yeah, amen to that.
I want to do that again. It's just fascinating. And just a lot of people. There's a lot of good people out there really trying to find the truth. But the kind of one of the things that paranormal investigations research is not, it is not weekend warrioring. It's not thrill seeking. It's really researching for answers, for truth. What's going on? Do spirits exist? Do ghosts exist? You know, what are they? Is there such a thing as demons or malevolent spirits? Those are all the questions that we try to answer. And as you get doing these investigations, you realize a few things. For example, you realize that, yes, in some cases something is going on that you can't quite explain. But you also realize that most of these investigations are somewhat mundane and can be very boring, unlike what you might see on TV.
But nonetheless, one of the best things about it is, I'm sure John and Vicky can both attest to, is the fact that, you know, you see people and you get to gauge their belief system, their interpretation of the reality that surrounds them. And, you know, I often walk away from some investigations thinking, really, being somewhat skeptical at the beginning when I initially started about psychic abilities, and then coming away convinced to some degree that some people have a gift. It's on a spectrum, and I think that there's some people that are far more sensitive than others.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that we've always used as psychics on our investigation teams, because they, you know, and this is not to dehumanize them, but they offer another set of tools that we can use and to find answers and to get test phenomena or test criteria. We can put to the test some of the different things that are brought up by the psychic. So one of the things we've, of course, never done is we've never informed the psychics of the alleged activity prior, and we didn't let them join us on the initial tour with the client. And we just let them walk through on their own and pick up what they picked up, and often they were dead on, and other times not so dead on. In fact, we've even had several psychics on the same case at the same time, each picking up different things, and that were correct, you know. So it's interesting about psychic phenomena. It's not everybody has the same level of gifts or the same type of psychic gift. It's different, and they can pick up on different things. It's neither right nor wrong. It's just different. It's an interesting thing.
I would like to share a story I had, an experience I just had today, Doug, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
I went to this, it's called the Bluebird, you know, Tea House and Gifts today, visiting with these ladies, and I just blurted, I said, oh, you have a woman's spirit here. And they both, these ladies looked at me. I said, yeah, she's up over there upstairs on that end of the house. And they both looked again, and they said, we hear walking up there all the time. Things happen all the time. And so I said, well, if you don't mind, I'd like to go upstairs. And so as I went upstairs, and I could just feel it in my body, and I said, it's a woman. The year is 1914, and she's singing Ava Maria. Her name is Ava. And I said, how old is this building? Because it didn't look that old to me. They said, well, it's over 100 years old. I said, wow, that's awesome. So they said, well, she's a good spirit, isn't she? I said, absolutely. They said, oh, we hear things here all the time, and it scares us because we're not sure, you know, if she's like a good spirit. So I got to explain to them that I don't even bother with bad spirits because I know who I am. And they need that kind of energy to attach to. If you're fearful, if you're, you know, angry, whatever kind of an energy you have is kind of, you know, that thing that you might, and look, it's all up in interpretation too. Mm-hmm. So, but I don't worry about bad stuff. I just said, hey, she's nice. And, I think that she likes you just fine. And I think they just like to be acknowledged. And I didn't feel like she was a grounded spirit. I felt like she was just a visitor from time to time. She really liked it there. It was a kind of a checking in thing. And then they explained that they don't hear her all the time. So it was a good validation for me. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so it was an interesting little experience today.
That's good. I like your term, you know, do the evil stuff. And that's one of the things, Grant, you'll remember this, with Gregory, our friend, who's mm-hmm. the psychic medium, spiritualist medium. He, when I ask him about, well, Gregory, do you believe in demons and malevolent spirits? And he said, they're basically not part of his world. He doesn't really see many of them. They're just not part of his world. And that really kind of underscores a couple of things. Number one, Gregory manages his thoughts, just like Vicky was talking about, that she does. And secondly, it also goes to show you just how much belief, one's belief system, goes into all of this kinds of stuff, this paranormal stuff. Belief drives it. It literally drives it. And that leads right into the psychological aspects. And Grant and I for years have touted the significance of the psychology of these events, and we've done investigations where there was no paranormal activity. It was psychological. There was toxic relationships. There was alcoholic relationships. There was stuff going on in the family. There was stress on the part of the teenage children, you know, causing PK or psychokinetic events. And that's a huge, huge part of paranormal science.
Know, Doug, I think, if I could just interrupt for a second, I think Vicky really hit the nail on the head. And the thing about it is, as you emphasized in the first the class in how to do the investigation, is that you really have to, and this runs true in counseling and a lot of things, you really have to know who you are. You really have to be comfortable in your own in order to really, I think, be unbiased in how you approach an investigation. And if you don't do, I mean, you really have to do a lot of self-examination.
Amen.
Because we don't know what we're looking at. you have to know what you're looking at, and you have to know what eyes you're seeing through. We all have a bias, but I think the key to any kind of objective investigation is to understand that we're all subjective no matter what. So you know, it's like I said to Doug too, you know, and my old teacher coined the phrase of it's subjective objectivity. But you got to know who you are. You got to know at least your own interpretations can influence, you know, any outcome. So that's important.
And, you know, all of this, after all our investigations, I'm not trying to leap ahead here, but, if you know anything about the universe and quantum physics, which I think is the real key here to everything, is that if we are observing something that's happening in the universe, we change its behavior. And so,
yes, indeed.
Well, let me just inject on that note a couple of points. Obviously, you know, part of tonight's show is how you become a paranormal researcher, and I'm going to talk more about this as we get through the show. But in the Metaphysics Institute has the whole degree program for paranormal science, parapsychology, ufology, cryptozoology, and it's a very definite curriculum. First of all, Grant, you had said that it's so important you got to know who you are first, and that's why all students go through practical life skills. You've got to know who you are and why you are who you are before you can do anything effectively. And I don't care whether it's paranormal science, holistic coaching, spiritual counseling, hypnosis, whatever. It doesn't matter. You got to know who you are and why you are who you are, and you have to know how to communicate with others, how to get along with others. You have to especially have a good relationship with yourself and be in a solid place yourself to do anything effectively. So the entire IMHS curriculum is geared toward teaching practical life skills, communication skills, critical thinking skills, which is so important to paranormal research, and all of those. And it gets into quantum physics. And it talks about the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, the observer effect. It talks about entanglement, which I think also, quantum entanglement, which also comes into play with so much of what we see going on. So, Grant, you nailed it when you said quantum physics, quantum mechanics is really a key to understanding a lot of what's going on and why it's going on. Vicki, you talked about attaching, you know, spirits can attach. Well, you know, I happen to be attached to my wife. You know, but not in an unhealthy way. But there's a lot of people in the world who are attached to each other in an unhealthy way. And as I've said for years, you know, most of the world is possessed, just not by spirits, or possessed by other people. And so I've also said, if you're self-possessed, you cannot become possessed by anyone or anything else. And that's the whole point behind the IMHS curriculum, is to help you be self-possessed, so that you can then go out with an objective eye, objective mind, no preconceived notions, and search for the truth.
And you know, the thing that's important is for all students who are studying human nature, human condition, and no matter what your area of expertise is, you really have to take a good solid look at yourself. Always put yourself under the microscope for self-examination. As a growing professional, you really have to do that all the way across the board if you want to continue to grow, because you only stop growing when you stop thinking out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. But, Doug, you also have on IMHS courses that can be outside the program, like the CPI courses, I believe. There are some things that you don't actually have to enroll with the Metaphysics Institute to study.
Right. That's a good point. You can we offer the Certified Paranormal Investigator course that's a standalone course, CPI course. It's been out for years, and hundreds of people have been certified through it, and it's an excellent. In fact, I think it's the best one out there, and a lot of people have told me that. Of course, I'm biased, but so what? It's an excellent.
I think Troy Taylor told you that, didn't he?
You're fine.
Just joking. No offense to Troy.
I have to completely
jump in,
John. Doug. Yeah, I have to completely agree with Doug. I have to admit, for it changed a lot of my perception on a lot of the science that I was used to exploring before, a lot of times you've seen before, back in the 80s, before the Rhine had been severed from Duke University, and that's where I wanted to go, you know, if I wanted to go to college. But I started reading and prepping myself, and I never got as far because it was no longer offered as a college course anymore. Mm-hmm. So it really changed a lot of my perception on a lot of the hardcore skepticism, even some of the ways of looking at things. And yes, you do have to be, you know, self-possessed in order to, you know, move beyond a little bit of that fear that has maybe you've acquired or procured throughout your life and things like that. I have to truly admit that it really changed my perspective on the whole entire way of even investigating. You know, here I was thinking for the longest time that cryptozoology, you know, even though it's its own research field in anomalous research, okay, that was just about, you know, Bigfoot and things like that and the such. But I started getting the extra little push to educate yourself about these things. And you know, I found that in cryptozoology, there are a lot of universals. You know, you have interdimensional mm-hmm. beings that are reported as cryptids that could be, you know, something that is paranormal or even UFO.
And that you nailed a couple of things there. First of all, and let me kind of wrap this up real quick before we move on. But a couple of things you said. First of all, I want to stress that if you're listening to this program and you're interested in learning how to do paranormal investigations, the CPI course is an excellent starter course. It's right there on metaphysicsinstitute.org. You'll see it, CPI course. And you'll learn everything about it, how to do it. It's focused on haunting-related type things. It includes a little bit on parapsychology. Now, inside the IMHS degree program, if you actually enroll in the degree program and specialize, and you don't even have to specialize in paranormal science to take the paranormal courses. In many cases, you can take those as electives or extra courses. But the CPI course is greatly, greatly expanded inside of the IMHS degree program. It's actually expanded into better than two courses, more than two courses. And, of course, there's a lot more to it, but it's just greatly expanded. So you can kind of get your feet wet with the CPI course, and if you decide, yeah, you want to go ahead and get your degree in it or get a degree in something else and take the paranormal courses, you'll get a credit for the CPI course toward your degree as well. So that having been said, now, gosh, John, you mentioned something else here. It's slipping my mind. What did you just finish up with? Because it was a good point.
With some of the universal that goes on in ufology, cryptozoology.
Yes, and that's that's another thing we stress, and this is the point I wanted to make. We stress cross-training because... And that's why in the IMHS degree program, when you study paranormal science, you're also studying ufology and parapsychology. Those are all grouped together. The cryptozoology is a bit different. Cryptozoology is not necessarily paranormal. It's anomalous in that we haven't discovered some of this stuff yet, but it's not necessarily paranormal. But with the paranormal science, it's so crucial to be cross-trained because you could be dealing with something that looks like a haunting that is not, that is perhaps a cryptid or something. So good point, John.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to specify, I had watched a documentation on, I don't know if they were real or not or true, but it was an actual documentation. Some of the cultural values of people and what type of UFO sightings or even alien experiences, that these sounded like paranormal experiences in Jerusalem. They have, you know, I've read a lot of their mythology and things like that, and I think even, you know, demonology, it's not really, I wouldn't say that it's a science so much as, you know, if you want to get into researching inhuman spirits is for cultural value and how these stories and mythologies affect our world around us.
There you go.
You know, but they were talking about, yes, they were talking about a an actual spirit that was in their folklore, but they recognize it as alien. It is being of light, any of them. Out of demonology, they would, So it's, if we were to investigate that, as they were saying, okay, we had UFOs, but then we find out it's really a haunting, you know, and some, you know, type, then we would know. You know, this, okay, this isn't really UFO related. Now we're getting into paranormal.
Those are real high strangeness sort of things. Wouldn't you agree, John? Those border on the high strangeness. You know, the one thing that if we just digress for a second, the one point that I wanted to make about quantum physics is that for your students that are, or all the students that are here that want to do some life coaching and things like that, you know, one of the things about just being grounded is remember that if you're trying to help somebody and you have a similar issue that person has and you haven't worked through it, you won't be able to help them get over the hump. You won't be able to do that.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
So it's really important that you know what's going on with yourself. But there's two things, and I'm going to let the quantum physics go after this, is that remember with the quantum physics that we're all interconnected. It's like if you throw a rock in a pond, we're all part of this great and wondrous tapestry. And so that interconnection, you have to be able to recognize the fact that we have that interconnection. And if you can do that, it's going to help you be a much better life coach. It's going to help you be a better life teacher. It's going to help you as a student relate to everybody that you need to relate to. Because in this field that you're in, no matter what curriculum you're studying, it's all about the human condition. It's all about human beings. It's all about our culture and our belief systems. And what could be more fascinating? And the best part about quantum physics, everybody, is it's spooky, so there's still room for the weird stuff.
Yeah, even
that's
Einstein.
That's what Einstein said. So, I mean, it leaves the door open for the wondrous.
And
Grant, I have a question for you.
Uh-huh.
How do you implement this into your work as a counselor, as a transpersonal coach?
Well,
incorporate that metaphysical kind of element to it all?
Well, I appreciate you asking that because early in my career, I really didn't. I tried to avoid it, but the older I've gotten, I think that you gain spirituality because life is, you can go two ways. I tend to look at it, everybody has disappointments, but guess what? Everybody has this wonderful potential. So for me, how I use it is I try to be as unpretentious and possible as possible with my people that I'm dealing with, but also to try to help them find the inner strength within them so that I'm nothing more than a catalyst, the same way that you might be, Vicky, when you're working with somebody to try to dig into an issue that they may have that's unresolved with like a haunting or with like a spiritual issue. So I don't know if I answered your question, but,
I would see that where that would really impact on a haunting case, especially if you had a client that that was still grieving a loved one and they were emotionally involved with that person still.
Absolutely. That's a very good point because we've come across that, Doug. And the thing about it is that, everybody's got to take time to grieve. And nobody, because some people say, well, get over it, Well, some folks don't. It takes time. But I think if you're sensitive and you embrace the spiritual and the fact that we're all one part of that tapestry, it makes things a lot easier. Then how can you look upon somebody as not being your brother or your sister? Just as simple as that.
And one explanation doesn't go for everybody. You know, one explanation does not always apply.
Yeah, embrace the difference, embrace diversity.
Hey, there's something also, Grant, that you had mentioned that I want to expand on, too. And if I could ask each of you to turn the volume down in your headset just a little bit. We're getting a bit of an echo, and I'm sure it's just the mic picking it up. Just a smidgen, if you would. You talked about the goal of paranormal research is really understanding the human condition, which is true. We've talked about that so many times. And, of course, that's the point of metaphysics, isn't it? Consciousness and existence. Understanding, what does it all mean? What does it mean to the human condition? And that's why I have long said that paranormal research, anomalous research, and I use that term to encompass more, anomalous research is one of the most noble of professions, even though it's scoffed at by mainstream science, but who cares what you think of me?
Bring it on.
Business, yeah. You know, even though it's called pseudoscience, yada, 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 who cares?
When is it not called anthropology, the study of anthropology? Because basically, you know, we are studying man. So,
yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
And our cultural beliefs, whether it's cultural anthropology or para-anthropology, we're still studying it.
That's right.
Yeah,
and it's all about the human
expand
condition.
On that. Yeah, especially when we come down to the historical puzzles. We're like the historical Sherlock Holmes. You know, when we get into the part about the history part, you know, and then we experience it on a genuine phenomena case, that is, and we don't have to give a natural occurrence for it. You know, as far as it could be high ELFs in the home or whatever that has allowed these people to perceive that they were having a haunting case. But when we get down to the historical part of it, we are actually leaving a part of history and we're reliving that part of history that had already happened. And that kind of, you know, entails into that. That's what we're doing. We're actually pulling these puzzles that people have either reported or going to report, potential reports and things like that, that we're historically looking at the human condition. We're being like the quantum physicists now, and the astrophysicists. We're going back in time to look at the origins of all of these claims and all of these. You know, we have to weed out a few fraudulent stories here and there, but there every good once in a while you get the real phenomena. And that's where we have pulled from was the past phenomena that reported, documented, and the such, and now we can go back in time to those and bring them to now to see if we're getting the same reports. And if we are, well, there you go. You just learned where all of your universals, you know, now you know that the metaphysical principle, and this is what I love about metaphysics, it already says that these things are inherent in our human nature anyways. And so does parapsychology. And I do believe that metaphysics and quantum physics is going to be the bridge between the two to bring us to a lot of our answers to what we're seeking during our careers. So
there's a lot of people who would like to study, and I want to go over to Grant for a minute, because I think there's a lot of people who would like to study metaphysics, parapsychology, but they are afraid of the criticism, the judgment, the public scrutiny, and it's really coming back into everybody has some kind of anomalous experience. I truly believe that. But how do they interpret it? And people like Grant, and step in here, Grant, because I think what you have the opportunity to do and what I do and Doug does is encourage people to live in their own truth.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. And you have to be constantly be an explorer. The whole of your life would be so senseless if you weren't exploring something, whether it's a paranormal or raising tropical fish or gardening or whatever. It enriches your life. And, you know, and as strange as it may seem, I really think if you do that sort of thing, it kind of branches off in that tapestry. Just because we're not conscious of those ripples or the little wave lengths that we, you know, send out or that we're sailing on, doesn't mean that that's interacting with somebody else on some other level. So,
all these great points. I just want to wrap this point up, too, is that I just want to emphasize anomalous research, one of the most noblest of professions, because you're finding out the truth of existence, you know, about the human condition. What does it mean to us? Think about this if you're listening to this program. If we were able to absolutely prove with objectively, scientifically, if you will, that spirits exist, what would that mean to the human condition? If we were able to conversely prove that none of it's true, what would that mean to the human condition? The same goes for UFOs, for certain cryptids. If we're able to conclusively prove that they exist, What does that mean to the human condition? What if we were to prove that aliens do not exist, that we are literally the only life in this entire universe? What would that mean to the human condition? So you see, if you're studying the human condition by way of anomalous research, in whatever form you choose, you always win, because you're searching for that truth, and it's a noble endeavor. All right, we have a caller. Hewlin is going to, I believe, share an experience. Welcome back to the program, Hewlin.
Hi, this is Hugh, H-U-G-H.
I'm Hugh.
Calling
Hugh, welcome.
From...
Welcome back. Where are you calling from?
Virginia.
Okay. And you have an experience you wanted to share?
UFO, paranormal, and near-death experiences, and quite some bizarre synchronicities and things that can be looked at, some spiritual information that runs throughout my life, and I'm working on a whole new paradigm for mankind, bringing spirituality into global economics and combining it with unconditional love. And you were touching on the loss of a loved one. I had an earth angel for a wife for 35 and a half years, and she blessed me with that lesson of unconditional love. And you can actually see a picture of on her wedding day if you Google creativity777.com. And on the same site, there's a powerful poem I dedicated to her that's in the President Ronald Reagan Library. The poem is discussed as a weapon against terrorism, and currently I'm using it to help the people of Haiti who can't help themselves. The church we were married in has quite an interesting site. It's the letters smwa.org, and there's miraculous photographs that when pictures are taken at vigils to this day, unusual things appear on the photographs. But
interesting.
Yes, and I have my UFO encounter was the Hudson Valley sightings back in the early 80s. There's some YouTube reenactments that are pretty accurate, and I was working at the time as a contract security officer at Union Carbide's World Headquarters, and when I was coming in to work the 11 to 7 shift, 11 at night, I had one of these big triangular ships at the main gate come right over the top of me, over treetop level, and I called the guard out that was in the guard the house, and I sort of felt euphoric and had no fear of it and waved, and it was almost silent. There was a little whir, and it just moved along, and I've talked to psychics about it, and I've heard that it may have been reverse engineered, but other psychics have just said that, you know what it was, why did you ask, that it was real. And I had the heightened awareness. I don't know if it's a result of that, but there's a lot, so many things that are so bizarre in my life, and up in that area too. I lived in Brewster, New York at the time. This, if you Google Satan Caves, Brewster, New York, that's paranormal in that area. And there's also a gentleman who lived in Brewster who did channel drawings that nobody can explain. They're very intricate. If you do drawings by Dean, D-E-A-N, Fagerstrom, F-A-G-E-R-S-T-R-O-M, you'll be able to see them. And again, I've had...
See, I think there's a lot of extraordinary people who are doing extraordinary work, and that's part of what we're here to do, is help encourage people to continue to investigate in an as objective a way as possible, but even translate and share their own experiences. And I think that's great that you're doing that too, Hugh. You just keep doing your work. That's awesome.
Yeah, just for people to investigate me, because I have so much looking to come out of me. I've been set up so many times, so that's all part of my paranormal stuff. I was accused back in the 80s too, and the supposed assassination plot against President Reagan was totally false. I had a Secret Service agent investigate, and all that information is sitting in the archives in Washington. My mother was asked, she was a top fashion model, she was asked and posed as the Blessed Mother for pictures in the chapel at Marist College in Poughkeepsie, New York, and my wife's name, Anne, runs through my whole life in all kinds of bizarre ways. And I also I read a book titled The KGB, The Eyes of Russia, by Harry Rositsky, a former high-level CIA operative, and I spoke with him back in the 80s, too, after reading the book and lost contact over the years when I Googled in 2008.
Well, Hugh, thanks. I hate to cut you off. We're going to get back to the topic at hand, but I appreciate you calling in, and I wish you the best. So
thanks,
and hang in there.
All right. Take care.
You know, I guess part of what we can take out of this, too, is that this is not new. What we do here is not new, folks. You know, there's folks like Grant who take it into his life's work. There's people like John, yourself, myself. This is not new. You know, when he was mentioning back in the 80s, back in the 70s, well, you know, my teacher came, you know, my great teacher, Frank Appleyard in hypnosis, he came out of the 1950s. He was one of the pioneers to establish the Institute of Hypnosis in Canada. So this is not new. This study, we talk about historically, this has been going on since the beginning of time. If anybody chooses to educate themselves, you will find that you are among great minds. Historically, the greatest minds in history have studied the human condition in all of its aspects.
Including a lot of anomalous activity, a lot of great minds interested in this.
Yep.
So, good stuff.
Wasn't it like Plato or Socrates or somebody said that the whole foundation of knowledge is starting off with, and I'm paraphrasing, is starting off with the premise that you know nothing.
Mm.
And as long as you go through life saying that, because if you go through life and you say that I've learned it all, you've reached a very sad point.
Yeah.
You've reached a very sad
and
point.
I try to tell people that at the end of every day, you should only ask yourself if you become a better human being, because that's really all that's important.
Yeah.
And opening your mind to all possibilities, part of becoming a better human being.
Yeah.
All right.
That rests my case.
Well, we talked a lot about paranormal science, and you know, and then there's another aspect of that, and I'm going to refer to it as anomalous research. It's just such a broader term. And Grant and I have talked about this in the past, and Grant independently came up with the term paraanthropology, which is an excellent term, and I discussed that, with credit to Grant, by the way, in the IMHS degree program on paranormal science, and it's such a great term, paraanthropology, because it encompasses that human condition, and it encompasses anything that is beyond our current normal, and that's the way I use paranormal. And
I'm on the radio.
Pardon me. Sorry?
I'm sorry.
Okay. Where was I going with this? The aspect of ufology, which is kind of grouped into this, it's anomalous research. There's so many cool experiences. There's a lot that you can explain. In fact, most of this stuff you can explain. A good 90% or better you can explain with natural occurrences, natural phenomena, misidentifications, hoaxes and psychological issues, and that covers all types of paranormal stuff. You can explain most of it, but there's some of these cases, and some of them are high strangest that you just can't explain. But there's so much compelling evidence out there for the existence of UFOs and alien visitation, even alien ancestors, ancient aliens, that you know it's hard to think anything different. I mean, there's just so much compelling evidence. And the same goes true with haunting activities, with parapsychology, which includes the clairs and psychic phenomena. And we've talked a lot about psychic phenomena. You know, Vicky R. One. So, you know, and
you know, wouldn't
it be
the height of
I wanted to expand a little bit on parapsychology, but go ahead.
I was just going to say, I apologize. I was in my office and somebody tried to come into my office. So I said, I'm on the radio. You know, I just think that it's really important that that you just embrace the mysterious and the mystic. Embrace it every day. You know, that's what's really important. Because if you don't, you stagnate. And always, the other thing, too, is everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a story, and listen to their story, because you know you got to be in a position where you're willing to learn some from somebody. And I think that atrocities are always committed when people think they've cornered the market on knowledge. So
leads directly to control issues.
Of course. I mean, look, yeah. The Nazis during Germany thought that they had cornered the market on everything. And I remember there was a great anthropologist, Dr. Joseph Bronowski, I think, who reached down into the mud of a pond at Auschwitz and held up the ashes in his hands of thousands of Jews that had been incinerated, and said, "This is the epitome of arrogance, that they thought that they had cornered the market on righteousness." Case closed. So when doors are closed and you think you got it all locked down, that's when it gets really scary. That's counterproductive to everything we've talked about.
Yeah. You know, there's a really interesting continuing study on plants and plant life, and now coming out with David Suzuki had just done a beautiful profile not too long ago on CBC in Canada. I think it's now available elsewhere too, on how plants actually have their own consciousness, and they have, science has enough evidence to indicate how plants talk to each other and how they share, and how a mother tree, when she gets food, will send it to her little, you know, saplings first. It's really fascinating what we are learning through this continuing, ongoing investigation, which, by the way, everybody, that is a metaphysical experience, even though it's science. It is in a category of you could even say mystical in a way, because it's all about energy that we haven't yet really tapped into. You know, we're all really kind of hokey on the spirits and aliens, but it's right in front of us. There's this magic that's occurring right in front of us. So I tell you, even when you, what they say now is, when you mow your grass and it smells wonderful, that's actually the grass screaming, and it's giving off a scent to warn the enemies and to warn the others. Now think about that for a moment. You know, that is fascinating in the study of the human condition and what we are not giving attention to. So there's just an enormity of things that we can continue to learn about that makes us better human beings. And a part of it, as Grant has very eloquently said repeatedly, we are all interconnected with all of life. So that's
absolutely
really important, I think.
Yeah, a good point, Vicki. And the thing of it is that once you come to that realization, you really have no other recourse but to absolutely rejoice. Absolutely rejoice.
And take
over
life,
that.
And see yourself in life a little bit differently. And you know, we all have hard times. We all go through bad times. Trust me. You know, Doug's my therapist now. But you know, it's a moving thing.
We all gotta have one.
But so, you know, we all go through the.
You don't pay
period,
very well.
But I know. But neither do you.
Okay, touche. Well,
I suspect that none of us are in it for the money.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
That's the problem.
The love and passion of it.
Problem,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we should be the ones making the millions, right, guys?
But, you know, there's one thing I'd like to say, too, you know, and I think that, you know, I'm going to skip around here a little bit. But, you know, when I first met Doug and we started our investigations into this, and we talked about, you know, we had a lot of things in common. We started off our investigations with a team, a fairly large team, and we conducted it pretty much the way that everybody else was conducting. Well, we were different, but, you know, but our approach was similar, and we used a lot of equipment, and we tried to record a lot of data. And, you know, after doing that for about 4 or 5 years, we finally came to the conclusion, a core group of people that were the spirit team and later became Paranexus, that we felt like we were spinning our wheels doing it that way, and that we became much more sensitive to our surroundings, to the folks that we were working with, so that what we did was we condensed it so that if we had 5 people before, now we worked in a team of 3, and that would be Doug Kelly, Gregory Kent, and myself, and we found by far that out of those investigations, I don't know if Doug will agree, those are the most gratifying to me.
Yeah, I agree.
Because we had a real interesting investigation in Claremont, Florida, and I don't know if time will allow us to permit on it, but we separated minutes. Gregory from Doug and I. And he investigated one side of the building, which we wanted to do intentionally. Nobody knew anything about Gregor didn't know anything about the building. Doug and I were given information about it. We came back after meeting with the people who own the building, hooked up with Gregory in the other part of the house. And I have to tell you, in all the times and all the investigations, I have never been in a home that has felt so oppressive as that home did.
It did.
And the remarkable thing was, yeah, but the whole place was just unsettling. And the most remarkable thing about it was when we went in and talked to Gregory, he hit almost everything dead on.
Mm-hmm.
Dead That's on good. what the people had told us.
Yeah.
But how much then? I have a question, and I'm not disputing any of that. How much is telepathic? Mm-hmm. I wonder this sometimes. I wonder how much occurs that we're not tapping into each other's unconscious minds, that, you know, that there's that kind of a relationship going on subliminally.
Well,
and this is where, you know, I try to decipher where there's this auto-sensory perception that I may have in a reading where I'm picking up on their thoughts, their energy, versus what's truly psychic. So, you know, I got my own theories going on. But from one room to another, from one people to another, who's to say that when I went into this little, you know, bluebird tea house today, I wasn't picking up on their thoughts of things happening? And this is where I know what I like to believe and where I go with it, but I like to keep my mind open for all kinds of possibilities. So I am expanding my own consciousness into places that I don't know yet, and I'm good with that. And that's where we can't have this need for control over knowledge, information, to be right in our egos and stuff. So that's where I like to really get across to people, that there can be lots of other explanations for things.
And that's a good point, you know, and that's why we need researchers. We need people who are serious about anomalous research, not just want to go out and get scared. You know, if you want that, go to the theme park, or go to the haunted house and Halloween. You know, we need people who really want to find answers. And in terms of, I think, John, you mentioned this earlier in the program about fear. We had, most of us probably had some fear growing up of ghosts and all that. But one thing that you'll learn in the courses is that knowledge cancels fear. And I can't stress that enough. I even just had an email from one of my CPI new students here today or yesterday. I think it was today, about, you know, he had this fear inculcated in him growing up with these for spirits and ghosts. And how does he get rid of that? Well, the good news is he's in the CPI course, and it discusses that very thing. Knowledge cancels fear. Spirits cannot hurt you, regardless of what you may have heard. I still have not seen a validated case where a spirit harmed a human being. Be more afraid of humans than you are spirits any day, because humans can actually kill you.
Amen.
Spirits can't.
Yeah.
So, you know, they might startle you, but that's not the same as fear. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we need more researchers to understand this stuff. I mean, Grant and I have been done table tipping scores of times, and there's something to it. Now, is that something to it, the collective consciousness of the group at the table? Are spirits actually manipulating that energy and moving the table in response to questions? Well, those are good questions that need to have research conducted, and we want to do that. But this is the point of anomalous research. John, go ahead.
As a parapsychologist, those are the type of things that you would observe to keep the investigators that are observing the paranormal phenomena at the time and getting the answers, to keep them from distraying from their own research, really. That's where a parapsychologist would really fit in on a team. Mm-hmm. And I was also going to elaborate on some of what Vicky says. There is research going on now, and it's always been, you know, my same questions. You know, do we kind of do things on a telepathic level? Is there something to quantum communication as far as, you know, telepathically? Because our minds really don't, you know, there's been evidence already that our brains and our minds are not connected, and they work on a non-locality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that if you really think about it, you can go back all the way with what Nikola Tesla said, and we're going to go on the macrocosm to microcosm as far as the universe. You could take that, you know, because we're from the stars, we're from the cosmos and everything else, right? So if you take what Nikola Tesla said about understanding the universe as far as frequency, vibration, and energy, you can almost start understanding consciousness a little bit better and how these some of these phenomena, you know, like clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, some of those, you know, of those can be given a little bit more elaborate on not just the explanation, but give us a better working hypothesis to work from and then investigate our hypothesis, gather the
mm-hmm.
information from there, you know, do our observing on these hypotheses, gather, you know, do an observation
and you can
of
create
it.
Create experiments,
then,
too.
Yeah.
All
right.
Yeah,
I'd
so,
like to suggest here that I'm kind of with, I'm kind of with Garantho in one way that, you know, when all is said and done, it doesn't matter because it's just understanding how we are all connected. And what Grant does in his work, I so appreciate. And because it's just, hey, you know, we're all in this together and we're all connected and there is this quantum experience and it's about the human condition. So
all right, we're
getting
low on
fabulous.
Time and that's a good
but
point.
You know, thanks yeah. Vicky, but you know what, everybody should not lose sight of the fact that everybody has the potential to be a healer. Everybody has.
Yes.
Yeah. Agreed.
And part of that is compassion, and if you've got the compassion, you're almost there, and just keep working on it.
Do no harm, do right. Now, yeah. We got about a little over 3 minutes left, and I wanted to touch on cryptozoology as well. And basically, cryptozoology is the study of undiscovered animals, potential undiscovered animals. Now, we hear a lot about the big names in cryptozoology in terms of animals like Bigfoot. There's Loch Ness Monster. There's Champ from Lake Champlain. There's all kinds of, there's Yeti. There's all kinds of these cryptids, which
mm-hmm.
is the creatures that are potentially out there. And not all of them are these big, dramatic, you know, like Bigfoot and all that. There's, I mean, there's chupacabras that's potentially there. There's just tons of them.
Yeah, there's
so,
the Krakens, too. And I think they have found some evidence for large octopi in the sea.
But you know what really blows my mind about that, guys, is and this is just Grant's opinion. Out of all of the cryptids, I think that by far, Bigfoot is probably the most, has the highest possibility of being a reality.
Well,
and the reason why I think that is that, and what really blows my mind about it is the fact that so many people are so ignorant of the fact that there was so many different hominids that we were competing with, that how can we possibly say beyond a shadow of a doubt that one hasn't survived? Because remember, 100 years ago, they said the mountain gorilla didn't exist.
Yeah.
And so that to me is with Bigfoot, is absolutely fascinating. And I think one of these days we're going to be surprised. And sad to say, I hope it isn't over at one that's been shot by somebody. But
I concur. And one of the questions in the chat was, does this include mythological animals as well? And the answer is yes, potentially it does. I mean, Bigfoot is a mythological, at least at this point, animal, but there's a lot of compelling evidence for its existence as well. So there's a lot of different animals out there, not just these, the types that you hear about so much on the documentaries and all, but there's a ton of them. And really, cryptozoology mm-hmm. is a part of zoology, even though the zoologist probably wouldn't admit that. It's a takeoff from that. And you take the what they call ethno-known animals, which are ethnically known. It's the people, you go to South America, and they'll talk about a particular type of animal. The acopi, is that how you say it? The acopi was only discovered in recent years. And the same goes with the mountain gorilla, as you mentioned, Grant. And so, in fact, they've even discovered another one recently, a primate. So, cryptozoology is a fascinating study, and it's grouped into anomalous simply because we don't know it yet, but it's a great place to study, a great subject.
Let's do a show on that and have Grant back again. Would you come back again, Grant?
Oh, I'll come back anytime. It's always a pleasure to hang with you
well,
guys.
Let's do a show on let's just do a show on cryptozoology. That, you know, because we could be here a long time talking about all this. It's great. It's wonderful. Wonderful material.
And just for those of you who are listening to the live program, you probably see that we still have 30 minutes left. I simply extended the time so we didn't have to run out of time here on so quickly. So this is about paranormal research. And if you would like to learn more about paranormal research, ufology, psychology, parapsychology, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org, where you can get your doctorate degree in that, and a number of other topics, including spiritual accounting, counseling, coaching, hypnosis, holistic healing, just general metaphysics. Grant, thanks so much for joining us tonight, man. It's great to have you back.
Oh, it's great to be here. I'd say to all your students out there, you're in a great program. Keep up the good work. We need people of your caliber out there working, job coaching, just spreading the good news, you know, and doing the right thing. So hang in there. Do the best you can, and I'm sure you'll be successful.
And John, thanks
for
joining us tonight live on the program, just behind the scenes as usual.
Thanks, everybody.
That's
great show.
Sure. You're very welcome.
And Vicki, of course, thanks to you. It's good to have you back and good to be back. And so to all those listening, join us next week. We'll have another topic at 10 p.m. Yep. Eastern Wednesday night. Gosh, that's all I got, Vicki. Anything left?
No, thanks. It feels good to be back, everybody. And we'll have weekly shows one after the other. If you have any ideas, throw them our way. Thanks very much.
And visit us at mchschurch.org, too. You know, there's a lot of good things there, a lot of great philosophies, philosophical beliefs that will enhance your life. All right, that's all I got, folks. Thanks so much for tuning in. See you next week. Have a great week. Good night.